Roman's Product Management Podcast. Tips for becoming a head of product. Becoming a head of product and managing a group of product people is a significant career step. In this podcast episode, I share my recommendations to help you get ready to take on this role and be off to a great start. And my first tip is, be prepared to look after people, not products. When you become a head of product, you move into a line management position, and consequently, your focus shifts from managing a product to looking after the people on your team and empowering them to do a great job. So instead of creating product strategies and roadmaps and selecting and applying KPIs, for example, you should support the people on your team so that they can carry out the relevant work on their own. This will allow them to take full ownership of and responsibility for their products, and it will increase motivation, productivity, and job satisfaction. A great way to do this is to mentor and coach people. You might, for instance, show the individuals how they can make effective strategic product decisions, create an actionable product roadmap, and effectively use the right KPIs. Another key aspect to help the product people on your team succeed is to create the right environment. After all, performance is a product of the individual and the environment, as Esther Derby rightly points out. This ranges from ensuring that everyone has the right tools, think about not only hardware and computers, but also the appropriate software tools, to creating a psychologically safe workplace, fostering collaboration and trust amongst the product people, and establishing clear roles and expectations. Becoming the head of product therefore requires you to let go of your role as a practicing and presumably successful product person, and to step away from the many joys and challenges of managing a product. For some people, that's pretty straightforward, but others find it hard to no longer be actively involved in making product decisions, talking to users, engaging the stakeholders, and working with development teams. Additionally, being an effective leader requires you to cultivate a genuine caring attitude for the people you want to lead, whether you like them or not. It means that you'll have to deal with people issues on a regular basis, help and support the individuals who are on your team, constructively address any problems, and offer advice. To put it differently, to lead means to serve and support others. Now, if it's hard for you to let go of being actively involved in managing a product, or if you don't find it rewarding to help and support a group of product people, then becoming a head of product is probably not the right thing for you, at least not at this point in time. My next tip is to grow your leadership skills. To be able to effectively lead and support a group of product people, you will benefit from having developed strong leadership and people skills. There are a number of skills that I find particularly important. In fact, I'd like to share 8 of those skills with you. The first one is empathy, that you're able to reach out with warm-heartedness even to individuals who you don't agree with and who you find not particularly likable. So I find that it tends to be easy to empathize with people who we like and people who we agree with, but if that's not the case, then it becomes sometimes considerably harder. But again, developing the ability to do so and valuing the perspectives of those individuals and take a genuine, respectful interest in their needs. And then the second skill is really a group, a trust, integrity, and respect, so that you're able to earn the trust of others, speak and act with integrity, and create an environment where people feel safe and respected. A third, active listening. You're used to listening to others with the intention to understand, not to answer. And you give the other person your full attention and you keep an open mind whilst hearing what the individual has to say. Fourth, feedback. You're able to offer constructive feedback so that the other person can receive it and benefit from it. and you're also able to skillfully deal with difficult feedback and criticism that others share with you. Fifth, goal setting. You can lead others through shared goals that create a common purpose and give the individuals the autonomy they need to do a great job. Six, collaborative decision making. You understand how groups can effectively make decisions, and you are able to secure strong buy-in to important product decisions from others, for instance, stakeholders and development teams. Seventh, conflict resolution. You can constructively deal with disagreements and conflicts rather than ignoring or suppressing them or ending up with damaged relationships, bad feelings, and mistrust. And finally, time management. You have learned to effectively manage your time and you're able to practice sustainable pace. So working at a speed and having a workload that is healthy, that is sustainable. A great way to develop these skills, I find, is to manage a larger product together with a group of product people who you lead without being their boss. But even if this option is not available to you, guiding a group of stakeholders and one or more development teams will allow you to practice the skills I just shared with you. My third tip is to ensure that your core product management skills are strong. To be able to effectively guide, mentor, and coach other product people, you should ensure that your own product management hard skills are strong and that you don't have any major gaps in your product management knowledge. This includes the following 10 capabilities. First, formulating an inspiring vision for a product. Second, carrying out the relevant product discovery work. Third, creating and validating a product strategy, including the necessary market and user research. Fourth, developing a product roadmap and setting realistic product goals and outcomes. Fifth, selecting the right KPIs, tracking product performance, and updating the product strategy and product roadmap. Sixth, creating and adapting a business model and generating a financial forecast. Seventh, creating user models like personas, which should be based on first-hand knowledge of the users and customers. Eighth, working with the product backlog. That includes stocking, prioritizing, refining, and updating a backlog, and capturing product backlog items as user stories. Ninth, validating solution ideas, using, for example, product demos, usability tests, and A/B tests. And 10th, working with data, being able to select appropriate data samples, analyzing them, and drawing the right conclusions. Now, you might have noticed that this list contains strategic and tactical product management skills. Both are necessary, in my experience, to effectively support other product people, understand the challenges that they are struggling with, and offer helpful feedback and guidance. Additionally, having solid product management skills shows the people on your team that you are a competent product person yourself, and this is likely to increase the respect and trust they have for you. If you feel somewhat overwhelmed by this list, then this might indicate that you need a little bit more time to acquire the relevant capabilities, and that you're not quite ready yet to take on the role of a head of product. My next tip is to gain experience in managing different products. So I find it really helpful having successfully managed different products, as this puts you in a great position to advise and support the product people who work for you. And ideally, you should have managed revenue-generating products as well as supporting products across multiple lifecycle stages and events, including product launch, product market fit, and retirement. And it can also be an advantage of having worked for different companies, as this will have exposed you to different company cultures and different ways of practicing product management. I personally found it really valuable to work for Intel as a pretty focused, high-paced tech company, at least in the late 1990s, and then move on and work for Siemens as a much larger, much more diverse business with different product portfolios and different product management processes. One of the things I learned from my time at the two companies is that there is no one right way to practice product management, But I also realized that there are approaches and techniques, patterns, that tend to be helpful even in seemingly very different environments. And then it's really helpful, I find, to understand product roles and responsibilities. A group of product people will find it hard to work together if roles and responsibilities are not clear. What's more, it will be difficult for you as the head of product to offer effective feedback and help the individuals develop and grow if it's not clear what's expected of them. And to make things worse, many companies I've worked with had not particularly clearly defined product roles, and some didn't have any product roles defined at all. So chances are that you will have to create or improve the relevant role descriptions when you become the head of product. And so I find it important to understand common product management roles and responsibilities, and being able to know how a group of product people can collaboratively work together and manage a larger product. So you should understand, for example, what the role of a Scrum product owner is, how it differs from a Safe product owner, how it compares to a traditional product manager, and which skills an individual requires in order to be an effective Scrum product owner. Know your industry is another recommendation I'd like to share with you to be an effective head of product. I think it's helpful to understand the industry the company is in, and this includes the following four factors: understanding the market and the users and the customer needs, the major players and competitors, and then the third factor would be the dominant business models and revenue sources. And last but not least, the main trends that affect the industry. Having this knowledge tends to make it easier to be a first-time head of product. It means that you don't have to worry about getting up to speed with new markets, competitors, and products. However, I consider industry knowledge as a plus, not something mandatory. You can typically acquire the relevant knowledge comparatively quickly. And last but not least, plan the career step. As with any bigger career step, it's helpful to develop a realistic outlook of when you will be able to apply for the position of a head of product. To get started, assess your current skills. Then identify and prioritize any bigger shortcomings that you will have to address. And then determine the right learning and development measures. For example, you might decide that as an intermediate step, you aim to manage a larger product and use this opportunity to develop your leadership skills and understanding of product roles. You might also decide to carry out some self-study and read articles and books on product leadership or leadership in general, and maybe attend a product leadership workshop. Whatever you do, give yourself the time you need to get ready for the career move. I find that product people often need at least 3 to 5 years experience before they can be an effective head of product and successfully lead a product management team. I hope you found my thoughts helpful. You can learn more about becoming a head of product, moving into a product leadership position by attending my product leadership workshop and reading my book, How to Lead in Product Management. Thank you for listening.